Of WMI Radio.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, How is God a Father to Us?
Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, today we're going to talk about God as our Father above, our Abba Father, our Heavenly Father, the King, God, our Father in the heavens. Do you know God as your Father? And what is He like, actually, as our Father? You know, we've all had earthly dads, and they may be closer to what God is like or not close to Him at all. But what is God like as our Father? Let's see what He teaches us about that today through His Scriptures, the Word, the Bible, for our help in Christ, that we would know Him, the God and Creator of all, as our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, His Son. So what is God like as a Father to you as you go through your life and all the way into eternity with Him? Well, first of all, is God really our Father? I mean, it'd be silly to even preach this sermon if He isn't actually our Father. You know, can we really call Him, though, by such an intimate title? Think about this. Who are we calling Father as Christians? One who is the Creator of all things. He's the eternal God who has neither beginning of days nor end of life. He's eternal. Paul says He dwells in unapproachable light as the King. Can you really call this God, who is also spirit, by the way, and not flesh? Jesus took on flesh, but the Father is spirit. Can we really call Him our Father, Abba, Dad, if you will? Well, first of all, in one sense, He's the Father of everybody in the world, in a general, overarching sense, isn't He? Because He's the one who created all things through His Word. He begot the Word, the world, through the preaching, through the Word that He spoke, which is Jesus Christ. And Paul says that in as many words in Acts chapter 17. Remember, he's preaching at Athens, at the Areopagus, to the unbelieving crowd, and teaching them, and he says, and He, God, made from one, from Adam, that is, from one man, every nation of men to live on the face of all the earth, having determined the allotted periods and the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God, and the hope that they may feel after Him and find Him. That He's not far from each one of us, for in Him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own prophets have said, for we are indeed His offspring. So Paul is preaching to unbelievers, and he's even saying God is the Father of all, because we are all His offspring in an overarching general sense, because He created us, right? Children don't come from, parents don't come from children. Children come from their parents, their father, and from His seed. And in this case, it's the seed of the Word of God through which He preached and put all things into existence, bursting into existence by His Word of power. Therefore, God is the Father of all. So you could call God your Father in the overarching general sense. But is He the Father of all people on earth in the specific and spiritual sense, in truth? The answer is really no, He's not the Father of everybody in the specific spiritual sense. And Jesus makes that abundantly clear in John chapter 8, verse 38 and following. Jesus says to the unbelieving Jews, when He's speaking and arguing with them, He says, I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father. In other words, different father, right? Jesus says, God's my Father, but you Jews who are attacking and trying to kill me, you have a different father. It's not God. The Jews argue back and say, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do what Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who told you the truth, which I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You do what your father did. Notice, he says, they got another God, another father, that is. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have a one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded and came forth from God. He says, I did not come of my own accord, but he sent me. Why don't you understand what I say? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there's no truth in him. So notice, in the overarching general sense, God's the father of everybody. But in the specific sense, Jesus says to the unbelievers, God is not your father, because your real father is the evil one, the devil. Why? Because they do as their father does. If God were your father, Jesus says, you'd love me, for I came from God, but you're doing what your father, the devil, does. What does he do? He seeks to murder. He seeks to lie. He does lie. The devil hates God. They hate God. The devil lies. They lie. The devil seeks to murder. They seek to kill. The devil goes in forbidden paths. They go in forbidden paths. The devil hates the truth. They hate the truth. The devil hates the Bible. They hate the Bible. The devil goes after evil. They go after evil. How much of the world does not know God as their father? To be blunt, frankly, most of the world, most of the human population on earth today, does not have God as their father. For here the saying holds true, like father, like son. They do as their father does, the devil, and therefore God is not their father, for they do not do God's will, but the devil's. Therefore, most of the world today does not know God as their father. Though he created them, and he's their father in the overarching sense, in the specific sense of truth, and spiritually, he is not their father. So, next question then is, who then does know God as Father in the specific, spiritual, and true sense? Who can truly call God Father rightly? And God speak to them and say, you are my sons, royal sons. Answer, Christians only. Only Christians can call God their Father, for Jesus again said, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded and came forth from God. Do you love Jesus Christ? You love Jesus Christ. He proceeded and came forth from God. Therefore, you're God's children. Everyone who loves the parent, says the Apostle John, loves the child. Right? So, it's sort of like, I always liken this to that song, Love and Marriage. You remember that one? Love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. Bet your bottom dollar, you can't have one without the other. Sorry for the tune, it was a little off. Early in the morning, but I did my best. Even so, love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. You can't have one without the other. It's so with the Father and the Son. You can't have one without the other. If you have the Father, you have the Son. If you have the Son, you have the Father. You can't have the Son and not have the Father. You can't have the Father and not have the Son. They go together, Jesus says. Everyone who loves the parent loves the child. It's the same way that if anybody, a little child wanted to be, or a person wanted me to be their dad and their father, and they say, I love you as my father, but I hate your only begotten daughter, Naomi, I would say, then you are not my children. For my beloved only begotten daughter, Naomi, I love. If you don't love her, you don't love me. Jesus says in the same way, if you don't love me, you don't love my Father. We go together. The two of us are together. We read then that only Christians can call God Father. For 1 John 2, verse 23, John the Apostle says, no one who denies the Son has the Father. He who confesses the Son has the Father also. Do you have God as your Father? Do you confess Jesus Christ as God's Son? If you confess him as God's Son, the only Lord and Savior, God is your Father. Happy Father's Day! Because, wow, think about this. The great Spirit, the one who is eternal, who dwells in unapproachable light, the King himself, for whom nothing is impossible, he says, call me Abba. I'm your father. I rightly call you my royal sons and daughters in Jesus Christ. So, do you know God as your father? How does a person come to know God as father and become his true sons and children? And the Bible says that at one time we were all not God's children. In fact, we were all children of the devil, as Jesus previously spoke to the unbelieving Jews. We read in Ephesians chapter 2 there. Paul says, you were dead previously, before Christ. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience. Who's that, Kevin? The spirit of disobedience? That's the devil. We were all at one time following the devil, and therefore we were all his children, because we were doing the devil's will. We were going in wicked ways. Among these we all once lived, says Paul, in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind, and so we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So you were children, we were children, I was a child, but of what? Wrath, not God's favor and love. That's a terrible place to be. We were heading to hell, destined for it. But then look at this great word next in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up with him and made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Come on up here. Sit with your Father up here in Jesus, he says. So that in the coming ages he could show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus, to pour upon you his fatherly love. For by grace you've been saved, through faith. And this isn't your own doing, it's the free gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. Isn't that marvelous? So how do we become God's children? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said this in John chapter 1, or it says in John chapter 1, that Jesus was in the world was made through him, the way that the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power. Say power.
Power.
He gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You're born of God when you believe in Jesus Christ. How does that happen? God sent Christ, of course, we know, to die for our sins, to justify us, to cleanse us from every spot and stain, to make us pure, to wash us, to justify us. Christ died for our sins and rose again, and then he sent the Spirit to preach the gospel to us. And then we're born of God when we hear the gospel and believe it. That's the Spirit of God giving birth to you so that you become God's children and he your father. 1 John chapter 5 says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is a child of God. And he's your father. And we become his children in baptism. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God, Jesus says. But you can be born of water and of the Spirit, and therefore enter because you're God's children. You're born of the Father of his Spirit, and therefore he becomes your father, you his children, and he adopts you. For we read in Galatians chapter 4, for when the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Say the word adoption.
Adoption.
We've been adopted. Jesus is God's natural son, but you've been brought from a far country, orphans, and God says, come on over here, be in my family by grace, and I'll make you my own in Jesus Christ. And now he gives us the Spirit. Paul says in Romans 8, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, that intimate name. For when we cry, Abba, Father, that is the Spirit himself, bearing witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we also suffer with him, that we also may be glorified with him. And now it's Still, like Father, like Son, isn't it? Do you do God's will now? We used to do the devil's will, like Father, like Son. Now we do God's will, like Father, like Son. Jesus, God says, I love Jesus. And now we as his children say, I love Jesus too. God says, I love the truth. And you say, I love the truth too. I love righteousness. And I go after what is right. God says, I do that. And so now also do you. I love the Bible, says God. You say, I love the Bible and the truth and walk in it. And we are God's workmanship. We were born of him. His work to create in us, in Christ Jesus, to create us as new creations for good works, which God prepared beforehand for us to walk in. And so this is amazing, isn't it? Is God your Father? The great Spirit, the one who is eternal, the one who dwells in unapproachable light, who speaks and anything is possible, that's your dad on this happy Father's Day. So praise be to God. Wow, what a marvelous thing. Now let's consider that. What kind of a father is God to you and to me, to us? What's he like? You know, we've all had earthly dads, obviously, or we wouldn't be here. And some of them were good, some of them maybe not so good. All of them were sinners and fell short. Some of them were more like God than others, some less like God. You know, if you have a dad who's very godly and strong and gentle and all these things like God is, it makes it so easy for the children to know God as their father, how blessed you are. Sometimes it's very tough, though. If your dad was not much like God, then it makes it really tough and it's troublesome for the children to know God as their father. But no matter what your earthly dad was like, let's take a look at what your heavenly father is, no matter, because this is the truth of what kind of a dad he is to you right now. What kind of a father is God to us? Well, number one, is he absent or is he a present God? What do you say? Very present with you. You know, that's one of the worst things of our culture, isn't it? That there are absent dads. They're not there for their children. They've abandoned the home, in fact. In a slightly older report, even just a few years ago, 24 million children in the U.S. have no dad in their home. Their biological father's absent. 1 in 3 don't have their father with them. Probably more even now. I want to ask you, what does that do to a child if you didn't have your dad around and he just abandoned you? It makes a child think, I'm not lovable, I'm not loved, I'm not worthy of being loved, I'm not valuable, at least enough for my dad to stick around and come and see me. You know, that leads to so much trouble. Terrible self-esteem causes trouble for the child, and the child becomes troublesome, so unless God steps in by grace to save. And if that's been your case, or your dad was there, know this. God is not like that absent father. What do we read in the scriptures? Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Whenever Naomi was on a playground and she's about to fall, I was right there to catch her, even if she didn't see me. God is more like that than I was, because by a million shots, because I'm just a fallible, human, faulty father. He, the perfect one. He's father of the fatherless and protector of widows, is God in his holy habitation. Paul says, even to the non-believers, he is not far from each one of us. But to Christians, we hear these words, I'm with you always, to the close of the age. He is a very present dad with you. Right there. David says, where shall I go from your spirit, God? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to hell, there you are in Sheol. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utter parts of the sea, get on a sailboat and sail over the horizon to the most forgotten island on earth, even there, thy hand shall lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. Isn't it great to have a dad like this on Father's Day? Praise be to God. He's ever present with you, faithfully, ever true. Secondly, he loves you as a true father should. He does, and he has great joy over you. You know, I think this is one of our problems as Christians is we think, yeah, you know, God's accepted me, but barely. He puts up with me. I'm just he tolerates me. He doesn't really enjoy me. Do you feel like that sometimes when you think about your sin? Well, We might think that way, but that God thinks another way. Psalm 149, he says, "For the Lord delights in his people. He adorns the humble with victory." Do you know that he has great joy in you every day? He has an amazing love for you, such that Jesus says he counts the hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. David says, "Oh Lord, you search me. You know me. You know when I sit down. You know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and you're acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it all together. You are behind me, you're before me, you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it." I'm a faulty dad. I'm a sinful man, I'm a mortal. But even there, I loved to be there for my daughter at every moment and enjoyed her. Do you know that I delighted in her and was there for her in her mommy's tummy? Used to sing to her, as you know, when she was forming. I delighted with great joy in her forming heartbeat. You ever do that where you put a little ultrasound or a baby monitor up and we can hear the heartbeats? I rejoiced in that. I rejoiced when she was born. I had great joy at her first crawling, at her first words, at her first steps, at her first bike ride, at her first horse lesson. My goodness, I was even there when she was conceived. Joke. Joke, okay? I was there the whole time. I was there when she grew up. I was there in her great adventures and, you know, had a lot of fun, in her sorrows, in her ups, in her downs, in her joys. I was even there at our marriage. In fact, I could say I married my daughter. How many pastors can say that? Well, I officiated at her wedding anyway, gave her to a great Christian man. And, you know, it's such a joy for me. And I'm just a faulty guy. I am just a mortal. But God is the eternal, perfect Father. And I want you to know today, and really lay hold of this afternoon and this week, God actually rejoices in you. He actually really loves you with an amazing love, counting the hairs on your head, knowing everything about you. Know God in this way as your heavenly Father. He has great joy in you as his children in Jesus Christ. Believe it. We rejoice in that. Thirdly, there is a Father to discipline us. You know, sometimes that's easy, sometimes it's kind of hard. Sometimes he has to discipline us difficultly. But how does he do that? He does that because he's predestined us to be conformed into the image of his Son. Sometimes, you know, with parents, you just need a little light swat on the bottom. Sometimes you need a really heavy one. But he's doing it all in love for you. Don't grow weary of him or be afraid as if God hates you when he disciplines you. The Lord disciplines him whom he loves, says the scripture. He chastises every son whom he receives. You know, I don't discipline Bill's children, Brendan and Gianna. That's Bill's job. He's their father. I disciplined Naomi, and then later Faith, right? Because I'm their father. If God disciplines you, it's because he's your father. He's doing it in love. He's bringing you to a wonderful thing he has in mind for you of maturity, to look like your great brother, Jesus Christ, in all heroism and strength and all the qualities of gentleness and love that he is. He's working all these things together for that. Whenever we used to discipline Naomi, we would always separate and say, "This is for teaching you the right way." As soon as she's done crying, we would always go and hug her and reaffirm, "But we love you. We love you." That's how God does it with us. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. He's growing you up. He's patient with you. He knows you're not already a mature. He doesn't give you the car keys when you're 1 year old. You know, "Naomi, take the keys." That's when you're 16. He is growing you up and patiently, and he knows what he's doing, and he's going to be finished with you one day. He'll finish what he starts. You're going to look just like Jesus, your great brother and Savior and King. Next, as a great and loving Father, you know what? He's gentle and he's quick to forgive. I want you to know that he's a great and loving Father. We can sometimes think he's, wrongly so, abusive or quick-tempered or, you know, barely tolerating you and grudgingly forgiving you, that's not God at all. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know how quick he is to forgive you? The moment you, even in the slightest turn in his direction, he runs and put a ring on your hand and a shoes on your feet and has a great big party in heaven. He rejoices in your forgiveness to quickly forgive you. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, says Jesus, I'll refresh you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. He's not after you to destroy you, guys. He's after you to build you up, to forgive you. He is an encourager to you at all times. He's a good God. Know him as a good and loving, quick to forgive Father today. And he wants you strong. He says, I'm strong. I delight in strong sons. Be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed about anything, for I am the Lord your God with you wherever you go. That's our Father. And he also says, as our Father, that he is our protector and defender from every danger and harm. We confess that in the Catechism as well. For thus says the Lord of hosts, he who touches you touches the apple of my eye. Imagine that. Take on one of God's children, you're taking on God. Don't do that. He gets between us and danger. You know, I took Naomi snorkeling, I told you this years ago. When she was about 10, we went to the Florida Keys and we were swimming. First time in the ocean, really far out there, couldn't even see land. She jumped in to swim down there in Key Largo, and she was diving down and looking for the pretty little colored fish. And she came up and said, Dad, I saw these really beautiful colored fish down there. I said, yeah. And did you see that shark that just went by you? Because there was a 6-foot nurse shark, you know, they're harmless, basically. But she looked down and she saw it and says, yeah, that's cool. Well, she got back on the boat and one of the ladies said, boy, you're brave. You're 10-year-old swimming in the ocean with sharks. She says, I'm not afraid. And I said, Naomi, you know what? If a shark had gotten coming at you, I would have gotten between you and the shark. And she said, yeah, Dad, that's why I wasn't afraid. I knew that. You know what? God's the same way. He says, any danger, a trouble comes to you, I'm going to get between you and the danger. He does that in our life. He helps us through our troubles. He is a good and ever true, loving, faithful Father to you. But he's most especially done that for us from death. He got in between us and eternal condemnation, eternal death, through Jesus Christ. And in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the expiation, the atoning sacrifice for your sins to save you from death and give you eternal life as a free gift of his grace. If he's given you his own Son, will he not also give us all things with him? Fathers give inheritances to their children. God says, I'm the Father of all things. I created them all. They all belong to me, and I, as Father, will give them to you at the right time when my Son comes in full maturity, and you shall enjoy them forever with me as my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. So, conclusion today. We thank God for our earthly dads. And I just want to thank right now God for my dad. He is the best. I love him. He showed me God, and I love you everything, Dad. And, you know, at the same time, we all fail. I fail, you fail, we've all failed at times as fathers. But I want you to know today that God, as your Father, never fails. He is the perfect dad to you. Abba Father, Heavenly Father, eternal in the heavens, who loves you. And know this, God, he is not against you. He is for you, 100% always, because he is our good, heavenly, loving Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called How is God a Father to Us? And have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul. And God bless you.